Good morning. My name is Dennis Sambamba. I'm the CEO for the Ministry of Women. Thank you.
again for the delegation of the Department of Trade and Industry in Kenya at your request. And this is the second engagement we had with the committee we engaged in earlier this year in Pretoria. Our presentation basically has two elements to the issue of gender mainstreaming. One element of it has to do with development, what the DGI does for the community. And the other element deals with DGI excellence, how we deal with gender mainstreaming from that perspective. So my colleague from the group supported the element on DGI as an employee. These are the elements we want to touch today. You would recall that there have been some new developments established not so long ago, and for us it meant that some functions had to be transferred to the Department of Human Resource Development. And then we'll talk to the programs that we have, the performance of those programs with respect to women as beneficiaries, some new programs that are likely to impact on women empowerment, the challenges that we need to address in improving both our interests and offerings and the corporate dimension. What we are going to do today, basically, we intend to explain our approach to gender mainstreaming and women empowerment within the broad menu of programs that DGI has, to present the performance of selected schemes. It's important to underline the selection, because firstly, the schemes are so many, but secondly, they target different elements of development. They are schemes that purely target visions, and therefore, they are not intended to benefit women or youth or men, but support developing regions. And then there are schemes that target specific sectors or industries. For example, the schemes that target the ability of the country to manifest values. There are schemes that target helping companies improve their competitiveness and productivity. So for this purpose, we have to select the schemes that are relevant to the topic at hand. And of course, as I said, there are a few new programs now, and obviously, we're looking forward to being new ones. And I believe that your review of new ones and how they may benefit women. Firstly, one should say that DGI is fully committed to economic transformation in all its forms. That means that we have to empower women, youth, people with disabilities, we have to empower regions. As you know, some regions are very weak, some regions are very strong. So we deal with empowerment in all its forms. Now, what you can see from our vision, we intend to build a dynamic, globally competitive industrial economy that is characterized especially by inclusive growth and then development, descendant employment and equity. And that economy has to be built on the full potential of all citizens. That vision statement itself reflects the department's commitment to having economic progression as an important issue in everything that we do. And secondly, in industrial policy, most of you are aware of the document called Industrial Policy Action Plan, or IDAP. That document is based on an industrial policy statement that was issued the TSA. And the industrial policy has five objectives. but the one that is more important for this specific context is the statement that in shaping that industrial policy and in shaping progress of that industrial policy, we will pursue an industrial development path which is characterized by increased participation of previously marginalized citizens and regions. Particularly there, we talk to women, we talk to youth, people with disabilities, black people in particular, and the various regions. You see the issue of regions keep coming up, and that's because our economy at the moment is just mainly based on the economies of Hawkins, the Bergen, Pantown, and the Cape Peninsula. Of course, Midland and P are coming up, but those three regions basically is the core of our economy. So what we're trying to do here is to show that all the other regions are empowered to contribute meaningfully to economic development in the country. And lastly, in this session, is about our programs and targets. Where possible, all programs will seek to increase and enhance the participation of women and people with disabilities and youth. And of course, we should ask the women people in rural areas are also targeted here. Now, at a high level, these statements are intended to simply highlight the commitment of the Minister, Deputy Minister and Director General to issues of gender equality. When the President set up the Department of Small Business, there was a process of determining which of the programs in the DPI must move out of the DPI and be located in the Department of, in the new Department of Small Business Development. So the following programs are those that have been moved from the department. So this is one, the Women's Fund, which was a fund set aside mainly to support women and children in the industrial. It almost functions like a venture capital fund, but not fully a venture capital fund. It was just a fund, which was administered by IGC, solely benefiting women. We had a program called Jobs in the Index, which is basically a training program that was intended for women entrepreneurs. Then we had a program called South African Women Empowerment Network, which dealt with all elements of women empowerment. Basically, it sought to understand the issues that women business persons face every day, their conditions, and therefore engage this government and the DTI to advise us on where to go. So we had a Women called Technology for Women in Business, which was a technology program that supported women enterprises with access to technology. And then we had a program called Techno Girls. And this program was intended to benefit young girls from high school, basically to begin to bring them closer to all types of economic development, entrepreneurship, innovation, technology, etc. The entire menu of ETI, with a view to giving them access to opportunities and give them information from a very early age. We had a program called the Black Business Supply Development Program, which is one of the earliest programs in ETI. That focus mainly at black entrepreneurs. It is recalled that most of our programs, by far over 95% of our countries, were not necessarily shaped for empowerment, but they are shaped to deal with other dynamics and demands on the economy. It could be competitiveness, global pressure, etc. This one is just intended for black people. And we had the cooperative incentive scheme, work on all elements of cooperative rate. An incubation program which was called the SIDA Technology Program, the Small Enterprise Development Agency, which in essence was a training program, mentoring, mentorship, technology support in a very systematic and protected environment. All these programs, though they were initiated at the DPR, they've been successful. The main areas where we are able to is from this on the basis of the past. The future training for future elements the new department is an important aspect here is that in terms of the rearrangement of the administration, the principle was that if a function is shifted from one department to another, all of the resources of that function move with it, which means personnel must move. So we in this case, all the units that dealt with these programs have been moved to the new department of small business. If some people have not been moved, that's more an exception. Rather than there will be some reasons why that those people were unable to move. This is just a broad menu of the DTR intervention schemes. We have firstly schemes that have to do with broadly participation in child empowerment. They are all about assisting previously disadvantaged. Even though in some cases people who were not previously disadvantaged will still benefit, but that's for purposes of linkage. In some cases, foreigners will still benefit, but that's for the purposes of linkage. Because in some cases, we need foreigners to come in and teach local certain skills and capabilities and use this institution for their purposes. And the second group of incentives focus mainly on trade, export and investment. So this deal with the government assisting South African businesses to go out and trade with the rest of the world, export to the rest of the world, and also bring investment. And the third group deals with incentives that are purely about industrial development. They are not at all intended for empowerment, even though we are weaving it in all of them. But by far, the main point of departure is that we need certain capabilities. So if we want to develop futures, we can't start by talking about empowerment when we don't even have the know-how on how to do it. So we first bring the know-how, and once it's established, we bring the empowerment element. The next section will deal with how we have performed. Now, this first group is the scheme that were moved to the Department of Small Business. In this first group of schemes, they are solely about women and no one else. The problem is the scheme programs, Techno Girls, Sawen, and Ikebank. But of course, you can see that the money spent on these programs was not that significant initially, but they are being upscaled, subject to the availability of resources from national centers. I think this is a slide that you have seen before, just about the... Yes. Excuse me, the Black Business Supply Development Program. This slide explains the pedals, which was, it's mainly as a way to address, it's mainly a supply development program for small businesses, which means what we will do is assist small businesses and certain machines. So if they need it, machinery will help them buy the machinery. If they need it to get marketing support, will help them with all those elements. Up to the 2018-16 financial year, we have spent 133 million for last year and then the total for all these years is 118 million. And you can also see the provinces that how we perform with respect to provincial spread. For obvious reasons, Gauteng has been a major beneficiary because of the economy is there. And then we have Limpopo, Free State, KwaZulu-Natal, Western Cape, and some of the major beneficiaries. But difficulty Gauteng by far outstripped all the other provinces. And there's an example there as well of a female owned enterprise in social movement and the kind of support they received from the DTI at that time. The cooperative scheme, which was relatively a new scheme, but it was intended to benefit schemes in which people club together to form the enterprise. So this one does not benefit individuals, but groups. And as you can see there, also for the same period which ended in the financial year 2013-14, the beneficiary is there. And that the number there mainly relates to women beneficiaries in all the cooperatives that are supported. As you can see, KwaZulu-Natal and Limpopo has been by far the province with the most broad-based participation of women in the scheme. And of course, work has been happening with all the other provinces too. Help improve their performance. And by the end of the 2013-14 financial year, over 3,000 women have benefited from this particular scheme. Once again, they are an example of a cooperative that is based in Kishoho outside Bulawayo. And the work that they do, manufacturing school uniforms and protective clothing. And the money that they had received. By the time this program was being implemented, the benefits were mainly limited to 300,000 per enterprise per cooperative. And we were in discussions to increase that to 1 million. At a maximum. I hope that the new department will be able to make that improvement happen. The next schemes are the ones that are in the DTI. The third one that we have here is what we call business process services. This is a sector scheme. Although it's not intended as benefiting women, but women have been a very significant component of the beneficiaries. What we were doing here is that we were promoting call centers and the provision of opportunities for enterprises so that where they are in the world. In the main, we wanted companies to set up here and service companies all over the world. What would happen typically is that Microsoft would set up the call center here so that whoever calls Microsoft calls to South Africa without them knowing that they are talking to South Africa. And the beneficiaries for women for the 2013 and 14 financial year, as you can see, was that for Houghton, out of the total of 2,937, 1.7 the majority were women. For KwaZulu-Natal, out of a total of 8,416, 4,943 were women, the majority as well. For Western Cape, out of a total of 14,000 beneficiaries, 8,011 were women. For this year, in quarter one, the figures were not broken down. You can see that already that the figures are almost 50-50. 1,496 for women, 1,496 for men. And at the end of this year, we're confident that the figures for women will be much smaller. The interesting element for this particular scheme is that the beneficiaries are in the male young people. Maybe. But of course, when you go to people in management, etc., they'll be the more experienced people because they're intended to show you the younger ones. And then this slide shows a number of schemes. Now, just talk again. The first one is a relatively new scheme on floor. This scheme is intended to promote film production in the country. And you know that lately South Africa has become one of the important filming destinations in the world. There's a number of films that are being produced and shot locally. And the scheme is intended for that. However, what's happening is that the applicants, and this is what this particular scheme is about, the applicants, what you see here is that out of that total of 137, we now have 18 of them being women. These are the applicants who want to direct film and produce film in the country. And we already have, we're interacting with a number of others who have not yet applied, but they've given us concepts, and their film has been initiated in their program, so that by the time they apply, we will be able to succeed. The next one is what we call TRIP. It's a program that develops human resources in technology fields. And this program is mainly run with the National Research Foundation and various universities. The intention was for South Africa to produce highly skilled human resources in areas of advanced technology, which means we want to produce our own IP and many other. So the third group here relates to the students who are at universities and are benefiting from this scheme. Out of a total of 1,064 to date, 585 of those students are females. And you would recognize that this area talks to high labor skills. And then a second group of this scheme is the research. These are people who are either lecturers and also leading research projects who are also working with the students to show them the ropes and work with them to make certain scientific discoveries. And from those researchers, out of 1,362, a total of 335 are women. The next scheme relates to the FPP. This is an area where we were not able to get the latest figures, but they were able to give us the number of female beneficiaries participating in those schemes. Basically what is happening here is that we are creating centers across the country. For example, one center is in Mpumalanga, in White River. Flower contribution. There's a central in Bumaranga and also in Dodge, the same case, which is about semi-community. That central also has a branch in Tata, and there's a number of those. We have a center that focuses on the automotive sector, teaching people how to manufacture auto components, whether those are exhaust, any part of the car. For individual participation, we had 759 and for women, and for enterprises we had 458 enterprises which belong to women. And then we have a relatively new scheme, which is called Institution, or Prepare Yourself. This is a placement scheme. The target here is to take unemployed graduates, people who have university degrees or diplomas, but who are struggling to find employment out there. So what we do, we work with the private sector to take this young people on board as trainees or interns. It's important to understand that the intention of this program is not for companies to replace workers, but to bring in young people who have to be trained. So the condition for this program is that the companies which are participating must have staff who will be able to train this. We have had situations where some companies don't have staff, so they intentionally want to use interns as staff, and we have had to correct that. And for this year, we have already placed 1,139 for this year alone. And out of that, 655 are women. And this program is costing government about 70 million. And so just for this program alone, you can see that we, out of a total of 5,500 almost, we have 2,800, the majority of the beneficiaries are women. But of course, you can see that the spread of the women across all the programs are not necessarily the same. So it's something that will systematically improve over time. And then we have a program that's intended to support companies go out of South Africa, go and engage with buyers in the world and bring investors, and scheme called EMIA, Export Marketing and Investment Assistance Scheme. So by and large, what we're trying to do with this program is to sell South African products. So the major condition for participation is that the company must have products to sell, and therefore must be ready to sell to the world. If they are not ready, we will help them get ready. We have another program that helps them get ready. And part of this program, of course, is to help them get investments. And these are the next slide shows the figures for two financial years. 2013-14 financial year and 2014-15 financial year. For this current financial year, we don't have figures yet. For 2013-14, we have had a total of 1,029 companies across the country being assisted to go abroad to sell the products. Out of that total, 208, which is a small number, are female-owned enterprises, and the majority are male-owned enterprises. So we can also see the spread problems. Once again, Gauteng has the highest number, followed by Western Cape, followed by KZN. That still shows where the South African economy is, where the majority of active South African entrepreneurs are. And by and large, the rest of the provinces basically are lagging behind. And the same goes for the 2014-15 financial year, where there was across the board a drop in the number of companies that went out. And that had to do with the global conditions, economic conditions, probably. For that financial year, we were only able to support 609 companies, and out of that, they were female-owned companies. The next slide talks more to a number of detailed indicators for this scheme. just so firstly, approvals to the number of women owned enterprises, but by and large, the numbers are still very small for women. The second one talks to the number of jobs created by every enterprise that was supported. What we can see as well is that the majority of the women enterprises we supported basically are small enterprises, and therefore their employment figures are not that high, their job creation figures are not that high. But the principle here is that the more of these enterprises we have, the more we increase the numbers. Because if we were to have 1 million female owned enterprises, it basically means we have created 1 million jobs for those owners, because they don't have to complete jobs elsewhere. And the graph at the bottom talks to the provincial spread. By far, women are the main beneficiaries. The next program is Export and Development Program. This is for people who have the intention, but they don't yet meet the criteria to be accepted to go abroad. So what we help them with here is prepare them in all areas that their enterprises require. And this is the numbers of the enterprises that we have helped for two financial years, 2013 and 14 and 2014-15. In 2013-14, a total of 793 were supported. Out of that, 372 were female-owned enterprises. And that already tells you that the numbers are quite increasing, and the figures will be balancing in the next distant future. For 2014-15, we supported the total number of 455, and 202 of those are female enterprises. And you can see the financial spread there as well on the spread of beneficiaries across the country. And then we have two important programs that we want to share with you. Because this program will contribute a great deal to empowerment across the board. The first group is what you have already heard to talk about, the Black Industrial Youth Development Program. So it's important to understand this is not an academic development program. This is a program about developing industrial youth. Entrepreneurs who are ready to play stake in the sector of the opportunity and in running their own enterprises. So we want to increase the participation of black entrepreneurs and industrialists in the economy. And what we do is we provide access to finance. You have heard the figures that BPI has made available about 1 billion. IDC has made available about 23 billion. All the other DFIs are also committing figures as to the amount they are setting aside to provide financial support to black industrialists. And then we are also providing support and access to money. In this area, what we are doing is the first step is to use the procurement model of the state to build industrialists, which means that we will work with state-owned enterprises and government departments and agencies to provide market opportunities, procurement opportunities for this black industry. We already have an MOA with South African Airways. We're working with the Black Business Council and other chambers. We're working with all the other SOEs to make tangible commitments to how much they'll be taking aside. And of course, what we are targeting here is we will be supporting companies or definitely in certain community industries. So it won't just be all sectors. So at this stage, we are making submissions to cabinet for both the policy and also the approach. And once cabinet has decided on which sectors, we will be able to share that with you. But in the main, the idea here is to target manufacturing and related services. And this program, obviously, will go a long way in supporting women in the service. The second program is the revitalization of industrial parks, one should say the old industrial parks. You would recall that in the apartheid days, the government then set up industries in what we call border areas, mainly in the countryside and homelands, to keep a level of economic activity in those regions so that black people don't have to come to what were then called white areas and regions. However, what has happened over time is that since 1994, when the incentives for this area were dropped, many of these industrial parks deteriorated over time. So what we are doing now is a program to refreshly to physically refurbish them. So we will spend money together with the provinces and the provincial development agencies such as the Open Economic Development Agency, Eastern Cape Development Corporation, etc. We will jointly invest in revitalizing these areas. So what is going to be possible is that we are going back to where on Zimbabwe, on Jackson, in the Eastern Cape, there's also Vulindlela, Quindastria. We are going to be proposed to work on the Ngogoa Industrial Park, Toyando Industrial Park, Shisheho Industrial Park. In the West, we are working on Mohase, we are working on Harangua, we are working on Babelehi, etc. Each of the provinces has given us their preferred sites to start with. We hope that within the next 3 months, we would have allocated funding to all of this industrial parks to be revitalized. What we have been doing to date is to assess their and scope their requirements and needs. So we know some need security fencing, some need assistance with water reticulation, lighting, improving buildings, etc. And the next step, once we have physically refurbished this area, is going to be a process of what we call cluster development. We would target certain industries for this region so that we don't just renew the buildings, but we work to develop certain industries in those areas. And then the next phase would be about marketing and promoting those parks nationally and internationally so that they are centers of industrial activity. But this program will also support women entrepreneurs, because what we're going to do is going to provide facilities where women can do business for. And hopefully we'll be able to negotiate the rates so that they are not overburdened. And of course, this program will also ensure that women and workers are also beneficiaries in the various regions. I think this is the end of the development dimension of our programs. Of course, one element with respect to challenges, in the main there are two. Firstly, we are working on improving data collection so that across all our schools we can readily tell if we are making any progress with women empowerment. One of the things we are doing is to get the system right. The second element has to do with simply increasing women participation in all the schemes. Overall, we recognize that a lot of the schemes know, and that we have to do certain things to make sure we increase the number. Thank you, share with us my conviction. Talk to me about the dimension of PTI as an employer.
Thanks very much. Before she engaged us, she's somewhat cheery.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, is it because of people with a disability?
In terms of that, we are standing on 2.67%, which the cabinet is public of 2%, and we believe that we need to keep on growing that as well, and that the 2% is only a minimum target. The collateral is usually a target for the end of this financial year of 2%. We also have three employees that are making up 8%, now employees are at an S level. Unfortunately, that is only on level 13 at this point in time, and there's 23% at our elementary level and now. Then, in general, if you look at our people with disability in the department, there's also, in terms of that number, 50% of being all females and then the other 50% are males. And there's 59% of our employees who have the disability, obviously, coming from one and two. To share with you some of the successes that we're actually very proud of at the same time, if you look at the journey that we've seen over the past couple of years, we put employment equity plans in place for our division, and we keep on monitoring that into the implementation, so that we can really see that we have an enlargement there with equity and diversity and that real opportunities offering to our employees as well. For that purpose, we actually need to get the culture within the department also right, and we initiated the process, what we call the alpha, meaning we are building, where we produce our values, and basically focusing on one of the values of quality relationships. The other two are operational excellence and intellectual excellence. But we believe that the one quality relationships will be also able to help drive the issue of diversity. We have this established transformation committee that is also been monitoring our progress. There are specific sites, as I've indicated earlier, that are being targeted and designated groups such as women and people with a disability, where we will be very specific to only look at those groups of people. And one of our achievements in terms of the Women Empowerment Program, we put our middle and senior managers through. We've been working on this for not that long, and we are proud that actually some of those women who went through that program have already been promoted to senior management positions. And then 5 of them are also forming part of the mentoring program. This actual wheelchair campaign, this is a project that we are running in conjunction with the Policy and Packaging Council of South Africa, together with Quadrapods Association of South Africa, where we use what we call bread tags and bottle tops. And I want to appeal to you these bottle tops that are on water bottles, not to throw that away, it's actually assisting us in generating wheelchairs for people with disabilities. The department status in terms of that is also a very recent project that we started. So everybody is saving the bottle tops, everybody is saving those stats that's on the bed. Looking at bottle tops, 150 kilograms for the bottle tops, and they hold back 16 kilograms. And we are moving towards 5 kilograms, and 6 kilograms in respect of the social able to hand that in actually. What we've been done, of course, we also have foreign economic representatives that have been planned for some of the missions in Europe. And we've also been trained some of our women employees so that they actually are able to participate in recruitment and voting at the foreign missions. So we're preparing them for that. As a standard, our performance agreements for our senior managers will include the implement of employment equity. Where we actually have the public in terms of people with a disability as well as the senior management position for we also have a leading policy in place that we've been reviewed last year so that we are able to allow categories of retention and then also focusing on our women in our law and senior management position. Anything that we've also now in the process of establishing is the departmental leave policy, that's also including cultural leave as one of the ideas to embrace diversity within the department. We've also conducted an employment equity survey and developed an implementation plan based on those findings, and we are in the process of addressing some of those interventions. Some of the other things that we've been putting in place is educational seminars and workshops and specifically focusing on various topics such as cultural and then also our counseling programs. We also implemented an assistive devices and seasonal optimization for our intermediate challenges. Some of the challenges that we've experienced is the non-compliance in terms of the self recruitment for some division. So we will have our EE plans in place, it will be approved and signed off, but when it comes to the recruitment process, there's some of the divisions that really not committing and it's only specific areas. So it's not a general issue that I've proven before. We also experience certain restrictions and stereotypes on cultural and gender diversity in certain areas of the work environment. If you, for example, look at our common posting, some of the countries abroad doesn't allow our women to really participate in that, and then also some of the restrictions that they allow women to be able to probably do the job. Another challenge that we're having, we have established a gender forum within the Balkans, but we've experienced for attendance of those meetings on in there. And it's mainly because there's a lower level of staff training, so we are now in the process of addressing that as well as people are leading us in the and then we also have that our visual representatives from the transformation committee. It's not always given the opportunity within the division to implement transformation solutions, and sometimes it is because of the level. If I give you an overview of our unit focal point, we've only introduced Ms. Olivia, who's here with us. She's been appointed at the deputy director level. It's located within the Chief Directorate Human Resources and Learning Center at the Corporate Services Division of the DCI. And the position is mainly responsible for employment equity and transformation, of which gender disability and employment equity is actually part of the continuous monitoring and reporting on these matters at the different fora within the DCI. And he's been supported by two assistant directors, who also then will be supporting in terms of internal gender matrix and disability management. And that's my presentation. Thank you very much.
Just to conclude, just a few remarks. You firstly just to emphasize the commitment of the department leadership to women empowerment specifically. Secondly, is that if you look at our programs, you realize that those programs that are about women and performance skills. Those programs that are about other roles of women in the country, so the training, interest, employer, etc., it's very easy for us to push the numbers. Which means that if you look at where our challenge may increase, it's in the pipeline. So, what will come up later? And a lot of those pipeline issues have to do with broader economy-wide issues. For example, can tell you of opportunity in many communities. But if the pipeline in those areas is not there, it's very difficult or even impossible to project the desired number. So the area where we have to make all other departments in getting the pipeline much stronger, then it becomes easy to put in place and predict.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you for the presentation. You know, I think, okay, I know we're going to get a lot of questions, and I don't want to take your time. Actually, what I was thinking is your presentation, I would have really liked to see your packet. You know, instead of saying so many businesses, you know, so many women, I would like more to be like, you know, within a year, like, say 2016, we are targeting so many women from Limpopo to get into industrialization or manufacturing or entrepreneurship, just have that translated. This is the number of women that we're targeting. And then come back and say, in your class, with your class, to say, how are we doing in terms of targeting these women? What are the challenges that we are facing? And what are we doing to empower them? We have to always remember that we come from an era whereby South Africans, we don't have the skills that are required. You know, they come to DCI, I know DCI is always busy. People go there and then they sit and they're told, you have to get a business plan, you have to have this and that in place in order for us to assist you. It makes it very difficult. It's like going to a classroom whereby you know that, if you present that your class cannot afford it, and say, you know what, I expect you to do your homework. Tomorrow come back to the homework, knowing very well that they don't have the capacity or the resources to actually do that. I think we are basically working on a textbook based on that. So I don't know if it's possible that we can actually have targets and work on those targets. And also, when you come in here and do a presentation, what I'd like to see is to say, okay, in DPI, we have employed 30 women. We have so many women in leadership. Okay? These are the problems that we're finding. These women are not coming up in leadership because of one, two, three. Those are the analysis that you're looking for. You just don't want you to come and say, it's very vague. They're not coming with figures. And that's the same thing when you go to communities. You present the type of presentations to people and they're sitting there looking at you and thinking, the right problem has anything to do with what you're presenting. You're not touching real issues that are affecting women to actually make them entrepreneurs. And I've said this today as well, 52% of population is women. And if we need less women, we are like two. Like half of your body is working at other half of the and you have no means of making sure that the other half of you works. And as long as we have that support economy, we'll never get anywhere. So we don't want you to come here and say, this is what, by the way, this is what you're doing for women. It must be in the center of your day-to-day business. How do you empower women? Because if you empower women, you empower the nation. You're not empowering one person. And when you're talking about a million, you say like a million businesses for women will create a million jobs. That is not true. I'm never talking about making beads and making baskets. Yes, I'll make one basket and sell that basket. That's my job only. We have to think outside the box. Think bigger. Because women have the capability to create bigger companies. They can really be entrepreneurs. Yes, I know you say that women don't have the capacity and are unable to go to school, they don't have the skills and all that. What are you doing about that? I was just going to say, yes, let's put them aside, they don't have the skills. Let's put them aside, they're not going to do, there's nothing to do with women. Let's move forward as men. And if you tell you the truth, you're not living anywhere as men as well. Because the economy is not getting anywhere. They're not creating jobs. You're not creating the entrepreneurs that you're talking about. You're not getting anywhere. So whatever system that you're using currently, it is failing because you're leaving the women behind. You're leaving half of the population behind. Thank you.
Thank you very much. There are three things that we have identified: unemployment, poverty, unemployment. Inequality, poverty, unemployment. You haven't touched that in the presentation. You haven't touched, and this is the 62% I'm talking about. So if you haven't touched them, yes, I don't know where to start, but there is so much that we have not done that you were supposed to do. And the first thing that I said earlier on was that the pricing of food is so high, it's unbelievable. And it touches women. When a woman buys bread, when she has 100 grains, she can only buy 5 grains. It means she will eat only 5 days. And that is unfair. And you are in charge of pricing that food.
but you have increased the prices of food so high that women are going hungry every day. And you haven't touched that in your presentation, you didn't say anything about that. Then I'll go to the presentation which the focal question, gender focal question is assigned to do only human resources. The gender focal question is assigned to human resources, and that is the executive director, not the education lady. Which means basically that women are pushing the question, that they are issues, whatever issues that, that they are supposed to deal with, it's not going to be effective. We wanted the focus of the energy director or the gender DG, if maybe that DG is supposed to take responsibility, because that DG is supposed to create a viable economy of the country. At this point in time, the DG says no. Women are supposed to be relegated to small businesses. That's what they have been doing for the last 20 years. You have not had even that small businesses where you were empowering women. You have these programs, which I'm not sure how many programs, seven programs, and you have seen those programs. How many people have been empowered? Even less than 1,000 or 2,000. That 2,000, can you really say that they have empowered women? That is disadvantage in the last 20 years. And as I said, these countries, they are women, these are the countries that educate women. And now they educate women. Can tell us what are the issues in that process of those countries or legislation that stops women from getting things. The other question which you also wanted me to ask was where you say you had mentorship and that mentorship, how long is the mentorship and when do you think that, what is the period when you say the woman is ready to take up whatever position? Why men, when they take whatever position, they never evaluate to that level? That's when you get women in there because they can't fight to be there, and then when they're there, you create problems for them too. Not that they are on there, that is going to be the mentorship or the mentorship. How long will the mentorship be? It's a great thing. You don't even know how long will the mentorship. I'm not sure if the red check and the blue check country is just targeting women. That it is given that the CEO, everybody has to do it, or is it a policy of the PCI targeting all human resources that must be either way. And going back to the programs, I was just to ask the programs one by one. I think I have 15 questions, but I have 2 questions. There are selected schemes. As far as I'm concerned, all schemes actually include women. It doesn't matter how big or small the scheme is. All the schemes that you have must empower women. Why do you have the selected schemes? When you have to lead them up, you have separate schemes that target women. But all the schemes must do as we say that they must target women empowerment. You can't have selected schemes. You go to regions. Women, take women, for instance, black women. Black women in that country were always relegated to nothing. It means that even industrial areas, those small industries that municipalities used to create in social boom, in Soweto, those industries never targeted women. So where, in which industries have you developed that say in social boom, there are these that you relegated to women? I don't know. In Rosny, can you show me a certain area in Rosny, including automation? In that automation component, which automation component, who are you targeting? Who are you targeting? I haven't seen women in Rosny. There is the automation center in Rosny. There are no women there. You are targeting even white companies, even foreigners that are sitting in that zone, that industrial automation zone. There are no women. In Mamelodi, in some cars, there are no women there. You have put millions and millions of rent. You can't tell me those components women can produce anything. So if you're talking about regions, you also see empowering the same regions that the apartheid government empowered. How they people have talking from those words into how there's a lot of migration from KZN into out. Why are you not coming with new areas in that problem in new areas? We haven't seen that from the GPR. You still are sending the same thing that the Apache government did. Even in the new, when you say, now we're going to develop black industrial, you still say, Bushabelo and all that. We suggested to you in January, when we were sitting with you at a fresh land, that the Abuwa Bedehi and all that, and Karampua, Pakistan, industries, which never even made means of revitalizing them, that you must go there and revitalize them. But Bushabelo, for instance, which was one of the apartheid industrial, small industrial areas, where the Chinese way. That industrial area is very far from the township of Bucarello, it's very far from Bloemfontein, it's just in the middle of nowhere. Who are you revitalizing for who? Because everywhere in the world, people are supposed to walk to work. They're supposed to walk to work. But your economic nodes can't help us to have people walking to work so that they don't spend money in transportation. They get little money. They don't get money. I mean, if people are going to spend less, in South Africa, you know, their industries are paying less. So you are supposed to make, you are supposed to make life easy for our people. Easy. Yeah. We're not using international trends. Who are you evaluating yourself with? Even you don't influence planning in local municipalities, for instance in France, just in France, your head office is in France. How do you influence municipalities to change their spatial planning? How do you influence that? Because you know, when you even evaluate that, people travel longer from Toshambube to work every morning. There's that highway of Toshambube, you hear it in the radio, it starts the traffic. And your responsibility is to reduce that traffic by making an economic note right there in social work. What is stopping you from doing that? You're not telling us how you're going to change the spatial framework of this country by putting economic notes where people are. Millions of people, where millions of people are, not only from the north. And then you say the programs and challenges, you say, where possible, what does that mean? So it's a by the way of empowering women. You say it's very possible. So what do you say with the 52% of the population, where possible, you can put it, you know? What kind of language is used here? It shows the attitude of people that are trying to implement development. When we talk about development, what are we talking about? Why can people unpack concepts like development? What does that mean? And to who this development had to go? To who it has to go? The father, do not have a problem of committee. Where does this development have to go? To where, if you have to say, you are going to develop, who are you going to develop? I mean, we sit here every day and listen to presentation that really ridiculous why we have to fight for the present. When we have everything at our disposal, we have the money, we have the power to change our situation. We're not doing that. And I don't want the CCI to come back and give us the program for the small businesses, the very small businesses. Even at a stress level, we don't want that. Those programs, whatever, you must come up with your industrial plan. What is this that you're doing for women? That industrial plan, where are you planning it? Where should it happen? It has to be in the local. It has to be in the local case. It has to be where people are, so that we don't get people migrating in that number. Despite that, it is a trend that worldwide people go where employment is. But you must make sure that you create employment where people are. And you said groups go over these trade export and investment incentives. You're not telling us what are these trade, what are they producing? these exports? Are they producing? What are they producing? Are there any millions of these people that are going overseas? Or they are coming back to ask for handouts from yourself? When they come overseas, will they get damaged? Will they be sustainable? Or we just wasting by people that are going on the street overseas and enjoying themselves? You're not telling us what are the products that we are producing? These are really what the overseas market wants. What is it that overseas market wants? What is it that we are producing? Are we competing enough to raise those issues? Or are we just taking this space? We're not producing even the beef. You don't have any industry in South Africa that produces beef. You're still buying it from overseas. So we buy it from overseas and make it here and then we take it back. Yeah, because we are African. No, we can't continue this way. Or they're just women. No, women can just do those small little things and what? This one says the other program teach you that you didn't decide that you repeatedly in your life you repeat the same thing that you have said to your students. You don't want to hear cooperative. We'll talk about it as small businesses. On the issues of high skills and feeling directing and all that, you acknowledge that there are only 18 women that want to direct schools. Why does it make you worry? You should acknowledge that there are only 18 women. What programs have you put in place to ensure that you are attracting more women? Because this has always been a men's field. Are you satisfied with what you are getting? No, these women will wait the next 50 years. We have waited 21 years for you to give us 18 women. Highly skilled students on innovative technology. Statistics are showing that in the last 20 years, women are getting into university in large numbers. And those women that are getting into university in large numbers, they are doing studies that are not significant to the economy. What is making, what is it that, what programs have you put in place that made them attracted to what technology, so that you can use that technology to advance the economy of this country? What is, which programs are you pushing those students that are seeing entering universities in large numbers that are going to do biblical studies, that are going to do insignificant studies that are not going to help the economy of this country? You don't worry, it's fine. 785, we have done so much progress. Researchers, the same with researchers. You have lecturers, that are not there. What's stopping women from getting into those levels? There are a number of things that stop women from getting into those levels. Because the social structure is still not rectified. And we should be worried that a large number of people are not what we want in terms of GDP and the economy. Because why are we struggling as women? We are struggling to fight to be in the economic mainstream. That is the correct way. English has gone to England now. You know? The chief of the struggle for women. You know, I hate this thing of saying gender, because it stops people from understanding that women are the most oppressed in that gender. The most oppressed are women. Because we want to shy away from empowering women, even African women. Because in South Africa, the economy of this country was built on the back of the African woman. That the women that we have empowered up to today are white women. We have empowered them without even thinking about empowering other racial groups. And the worst woman among all racial groups is the African woman. If you want to give them to, you bring them into the same equilibrium. It means that you must make more efforts, more programs, must focus on the African woman. We don't want to see our African women suing for social grants.
Yes.
We don't want to see them suing for social grants. They must be in the same power as the white women. How do you do that? You create programs. Exactly. The highly skilled issue, say, one highly skilled, high technology, those programs, when you speak to your partner and department in higher education, when you speak to them, say, we want you to produce this number. because we want that number to participate in the economy. Where is the economy? Here and here and here. And they know your target as a department. Manufacturing. Same applies to manufacturing. Manufacturing is simple. You can manufacture things. You can manufacture anything. What is it that manufacturing you're focusing on, which can only give you 458 and battle years? Which manufacturing are you talking about? Are you talking about beneficiation? You haven't touched that. In terms of beneficiation, where in beneficiation are you going to get women? The raw materials that you're taking out of this country, which ones are you coming up with that are going to solve that raw material so that you can come up with women that are unemployed that are going to be into that beneficiation? Where? Which beneficiation are you targeting? Correct. Correct. Going out. Why don't you take those girls and refurbish them or recycle them so that they can be products that women can reproduce and manufacture? African products, which one type? Every time you do a presentation, you don't say which one. You need to be specific so that we understand. I'm a layman in terms of maybe the economy and all that. But you need to tell me. You're talking to people that don't understand what to do. But I need to understand exactly what it is that you think. Your figures, I'm not happy with even companies that you take out that you are seeking with financial and you said companies financially benefited from EMIA. I'm not getting that it has declined, and then you said there were because of global trends that the numbers are lower. Global trends, the numbers are lower. So it means that if that is why I'm saying I have 27 questions that I have, but I have to say.
Fairly impressed by the fact that you have shown some improvement in various fields, and that hasn't been the case with all departments. So I think you're going in the right direction, but we need more specifics, and we need to, the census is so easily, just to get a good impression. I was also struck about the fact that you were reusing the area that had been so unsuccessful during during apartheid, and the transport and everything else has already been mentioned, so I won't go into that. But I want to know, what were you going to do differently? Because that was an artificial system. People had to, create a special airport to be able to bring things in. You need to be right on the trade route, you need to be where people are, and you also need to create products that are really needed. I remember one fairly successful project, because I come from the Eastern Cape, and it was bringing in the Irish to make material, sort of linens and textiles and things. But I think later on things fell down because people didn't have the management skills. So there's a lot of work that needs to be done. So I'm concerned about that. But I think while we are sort of saying that you need to do this, we also have to acknowledge that the pipeline isn't there. Because our education system is not good enough. And we've got to start right at the bottom with people having a decent education and proper mentoring skills and so on. So it's not your responsibility alone, but I think all of us as citizens have to say we've got to fix the education so that you have lots of people being properly educated with the right sort of subjects that they need. Maths and science and other things. But also language skills, don't forget those. Language skills are important for being able to do the mathematics and so on. So that is very important that we don't look at it in isolation. One other thing, I'd just like to know more about the protocols. I have lots of those, but I don't know where to go. Again, it's a fantastic idea, but perhaps we need to market this and make sure who's going to supply wheelchairs, where we have to get them to. Is this an isolated project of you are, or is it something that we can introduce in our own constituencies? So I'm really interested to hear the answers about how you are going to make these previously failed projects work now, and I'm afraid I'm going to have to get the answers from the minutes. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
see here.
Lord,
thank
you very much for my attention. I did not want to remember a bit in the heart of the situation and the presentation. Especially what I wanted to do, as I'm learning the number of presentations that have been put in front of me. They are not in touch, all of them. Because I'm asking myself, as I'm listening, the first question I'm asking myself is, when we were drafting this program, what was the philosophy? What philosophy of women struggling in empowerment in their families and Africa that informed the policy approach on gender equality? Let it take it from as a foundation for building this national. I don't get it in your policy aspirations that it puts there. They do not talk to the historical evidence of the country in terms of the threat of exploitation and how do you want to intervene given the structure that is patriarchal and is going to have. I really, I said that the evolution of the social economic in the country is that not up to that. We affiliated women in the process from the communal system, the slavery system, and the social economic system, the feudal system, and to the capitalist system. And your approach, how does it respond to that structural arrangement? Given the approach of cabinet that says that we are entering into a radical socio-economic transformation, which means that we must change the structure of the economy. That we respond to that, given the socio-economic structural arrangement of the country. That was the first question that I was going to ask. Because if your strategy and approach is a healthy and nice to do project for women, it does not talk to the sector of production. Using land as an element of industrialization project in the country. Transferring land to women to utilize that land to support industrialization. It does not talk to that. It does not talk to capital. I see 350,000 there. It is not capital. And then what is our understanding of giving capital to women to compete strong with white counterparts who are also established in terms of capital and so forth. They are many in terms of economic studies, sectors of production. We do not talk about sectors of production. We just doing what the potatoes and so that is what we're talking about. We're not talking about actual economy. No way we're supposed to do that. I ask myself looking. You see, even the question of the skills that was talking about the unemployment, I was thinking when I was looking at unemployment rate in South Africa. And I said our strategies are chasing a dynamic and moving object. You know, we are killing people, receiving people, technology is advanced, we must rescue them. And after we rescue them in advance, we are chasing the moving target. Now, we are putting our people into a dichotomy. Where they're not going to be able to go outward, we're not focusing on industrialization in Africa. What are the values of African economic development? Which will inform what we produce here in Africa? We're changing international standards. We are very, 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 very far away. You know, these feudalism arrived in South Africa in 1652. We were taken from communal trade to capitalism. So we didn't enter other stages. We had the crisis that was facing. So I think it's very important when we do these programs, we must be informed by fundamentals of what is the structure of our economy and how our people are dislocated in that structure. How do we integrate it? Up until we get it right on philosophical analysis, we're not going to do it. So I'm not going to go into all these programs, but all the programs are
ready. He's saying that female assisted cooperation.
He's saying female assisted cooperation. He's saying female beneficiaries. But they're not telling me where are they? What are they doing today? Because we have given the money, the money is child, or they were robbed. where are they coming? And are they?
But some woman's complaining to me, and the member of parliament on this investment, export, what was all those things. They went overseas, they sold their wines, they had a thing. They didn't get market. They didn't get market. There's no one overseas buying their wine. So what was the people of the system? And then what happened to that? Because that man we used to get a certain thing. And these are the challenges that we must talk about. They asked about the land that I'm talking about. Where do you do your wine? Do you have a farm there that is, no, I'm piggybacking from the white guy. You are not getting decision making. You are not coming with the bottle of wine there without the actual sector of the thing. So this is what is making. And I think DDI can help. You have anything to do that. But we need people who can put their neck on the block, understanding the actual problem. On the country, we don't know what is the actual problem. And this is what we must deal with. What is the fundamental problem? The fundamental problem is the subjugation and the isolation of Africans in particular and black people in general from the mainstream or the economy. That is the fundamental problem that we have. That is what is fundamental problem. So now we talk about the response to that fundamental problem. If we can empower general deaf people, it does not necessarily mean the liberation of the African. Yes. But if the foundation of liberation is the African, it can liberate other non-African. It's like women. If we empower women, we empower men. Mm-hmm. What men should be, they are asking, these people, they do not have kids from the empowerment. But on race questions, they are not asking who they are benefiting. So it's taboo standards. So that taboo standard is reflected in policy decisions. And so I just wanted to raise those things. They are many things that I should raise. But I wanted to raise those on the
foundation. Thank you. Okay. Thank you very much. I think a lot of questions have been asked by my colleague. And I just want to have two questions for the committee. One, I just want to check the relationship of the Department of State and Industry with our minister. The women in the presidency, because I know in terms of the strategy that they want to have a memorandum of understanding of agreement with the status of women empowerment in the country. And secondly, Chair, you know, we had in the first parliament, we did a bill on the women empowerment in gender equality. The deal is not. Because the intention of the deal was quite very good. Because it empowers, it compels, it enforces the departments and the private sector to empower women. I think it is up to us now as the members of parliament to reintroduce that deal. Because the way to talk and talk each and every day until this can end. The officials or the departments or either the private sector does not want to comply in terms of the empowerment. I think it is my sense, Representative, let's reintroduce the bill so we can be able to enforce compliance in all the departments and the private sector. Thank you very much.
Ukuba khombisa ngempela ukuthi banalo le ntshisekelo ngokucindezelwa komuntu walayise eAfrika especially kwesifazane. Isihlungu sizihamba sesimoto. Abantu ezizokhuluma ngazo azikho umshaya wesiphilisi ukuthi uDDI iningi la engibona phambi kwami kumnyama kodwa uma ubheka akukho nolulodwa ushintsho engibonayo lwenzeka okuqondisa kubantu basemakhaya noma kubantu abamnyama. Iy'mboni zokuqala nje uma uyibheka lula ukuthi ziye ey'ndaweni zabantu abamnyama. Uma uthi uyayibheka lapho ey'ndaweni zabantu abamnyama leziy'mboni zingaba abantu ongibona bala. Umuntu omnyama nafuna kuphela sesilesenti lakho lokugcinise njani ayothenga kulona. Kuthi le nto lezi akade bona bezenza ukuthi hlambe aphile nemindeni yabo ivaleke. Angazi noma yikho yilokho. ujena kwezithi mawuya khona imboni lingalwa abantu bangaphandle othola ngisho imikhiqizo yakhona akuyona la eSouth Africa asiyishule ngaphandle ayisileke kodwa imikhiqizo eminingi ayikho amafethu mangase sikhulume siye kokudlala angama abantu besebenza kakhulu kodwa abantu besifazane bodla injeni azibaliwe amafethu nobakhuluma nje nani ugcwele amafethu angaphandle omashayina nemikhiqizo ekhamuka ngaphandle ihlule lapho sengiyelandela ukuthi abantu basemakhaya nabantu phandle bagcina ngokufaka iy'mpelo njengoba nibala kumacooperative nje nibala la ukuthi ngiyabaxhasa abantu ukuthi bakwazi bayimele kodwa ngifuna ukwazi ukuthi nibakhetha kanjani laba bantu ukuthi laba sebaninga lolu xhaso lona kolomndeko laba sibaningi ey'mpelweni esuke zingayo kubi nendawo siyabe nomsitshela ukuthi kwakhinatal Eastern Cape no angekusitsheleni ukuthi ikuphi nendawo iy'nkampani esiyixhasile ezini wai usikhuluma kanje thina ezabona ubuhlungu mayinenza iphalamente ngoba abantu bathembele thina bayafika bazosithetha inakho esikwenza uthi uyayo yozeba ngempela abantu bayasebenza kodwa bathola ukuxhasa bayabaka eminyangweni ethu abahlizakazi emakhaya ilula lento banje mhlabelele engabe ngiyaphuma phela sinonke nisukela khaza fethu ma ulandele iso yakho zizotshola ukuthi ngingasebhedlile ngingasezibopho buyelani-ke phezibona nikhombise kaphethezi nanibanyana niphilele nibaqoke laba bantu nibavulele inokhudlane amabizi ukuthi ngangiaaiinto elula nabafiki lento yonane nokhudlane yemgalo ukuthi nje kuney'mboni ey'nkulu abakathi bahlala maduze bendakushini nigcina nidlale ngabo bamaphumulo nje nagcina nidlale ngabo labo bantu namaqoka kwathiwa abahlangane bawahlala maduze kuthiwa bazokwenza ngisho amashini ivini nawo bangenzile nibuye andaibahlonakayo noma abantu bamnyama baphiwe unkulunkulu baphila amakhona bayathi ngoba ivi nalabantu abamhlophe izinto eningayintshontsha kuthina kodwa manje ninakhona nisaqhubeka lana okwakusendekela laba abadala amakhathi akhona awile asabona inqabo lohlabela asitshele nibona ukuthi nilize nihlangane phansi nibhele nokuthi la makhathi lakhona ngabaleyithatha i-information ukuthi ayise emphakathini ayotshela abantu ukuthi nabo mina bengizoxela bafethu sabona isikhathi sona mina bengiyobika ngelanga esincona kelisenza 24 hours lana ngesokasizama ukushela khona ngoba funa niyazi obathina thina sinele umphakathi and alikho ikomiti elithwele kanzima njengaleli komiti labantu besifazane ngoba umuntu wesifazane yakuphela khona la nibala khona ingane nati igama zombhalo ayitukisa wazamshayine noma yini uyabona lapa akho lange mina ongakhombisa zona kuyimanje khona ngisho iy'ngane ey'hlele emakhaya sezangena kwiy'dakamizwa ziqedile zifundile ziqedile komayunivesithi aiabona loluhlelo lusebenza babethi kuhlala ukuza thina nizothi nazi izinto nibendlala ngathi ndabona
I'm sure the honourable member started off by thanking the fellow colleague members who have to fight on behalf of women. They used to complain about that there's nothing which is done for black people or for rural women in particular. She spoke about industries and how these industries are run by foreign nationals and how these industries don't benefit black people or women in particular. She referred to an example of great city. Next to one machine, that particular mall or that particular building is being run by foreigners. They are using things from the area, but the people are supposed to be benefiting and not owners. They don't have any influence, they don't have any share. The factories around, as I said before, are often run by foreign nationals. They are run by Chinese in some areas. When she spoke about the programs which are on display, and she spoke about the selection of people who benefit from these programs. She wants to know how do you select these people who benefit, how many requests the department gets, what criteria you use to select, how much is used, what is the tangible evidence that is there to show that the money being used is actually helping those people down there on the ground. She also expressed her principle
in for a member of parliament, and we don't see the relocation of the force very active or important, but at the end of the day, they don't get any other thing. She spoke about rural areas. She even made an example that most of us, a lot of the members are black people, and they may have a history, or they may come from rural areas. They go back down there, especially because people on the ground are the ones who are being assisted. She also referred to a plant called Amarola, which can be used to make alcohol, or which the nut of the plant can be used to can be grinded and can be used to make health food. She asked if anything has been done about that. Are these people informed? Are these people trained? Are these people given the right information which they need to stand on their own? She also referred to DCI, who came down to Singapore and spoke about how people can use Amazon to make shit. People there were hopefully something was going to happen, but nothing has happened until today. She also spoke about the time that she wishes that there was actually more time because there is so much to say and so little time. She also spoke about the program called Ethiopia, the graded program which finds training opportunities for students or people who have completed their studies. Where does that exist? Which students in the city? Because there is not a single student that she knows that has taken very seriously in this particular program. Thank you.
I'm about to leave and I think it's a community aspect, first of all, before I leave, I would like to pose a question. In the world of men, migrated number zero. But the warning should be, without a woman with knowledge, and all of you here have mothers and grandmothers, but why don't you see it and ensure that women are properly. We're not talking about genetic development. And I hope the other women who are here, my grandkids and great-grand and family, we are still in the game. And there was one point that I was really asked to the lady to elaborate on. You are talking about amendment of the departmental leave policy to include cultural leave. What does that mean? What does that mean? Everything is one has so many programs around cultural maybe they are at us, but yeah, I don't know. I think it's that every session will be discussed by women. Give a space to voice what we want. Men must believe that they can actually, you know, structure and deliver on our behalf. What's that?
By not being in their rural area. For instance, in the area of Unsila, there is a building which was used by Bata for manufacturing of shoes. Now, this was closed. Now, women are throwing shoes by hand across the road. they have been assisted by a special charity who bring those women to the women to show them by hand. So now the home is there. So why don't I assist those women by assisting them to reopen this lady so that they can be able to end a DNA and provide their family. And the other thing we're seeing is I think the people are thinking about relationship to the care house. Because most women are doing agriculture for them to get to process the other tables. After they have been sent, they send them to the local and the as well as countrywide. What new project? So, yeah, and so, because it was in a building phase after this, everything disappeared. And the other question is how is what is the proportion of women owned registered companies? Is the companies and intellectual property commission has on their records? And how many women owned companies have benefited from the revitalization of the industrial park? What strategies are being utilized to get the men, especially in rural areas? Thank you. Now we are running out of time. The time now is 10 to 1. So just give you just 15
minutes. No, I was just thinking maybe we might throw in ideas into the debate because answering, I'm not allowed, if they're going to give us what we want. But there are industries like the fishery industry. If you have just let it to the fishery department, it's not enough. You are the key to the economy. You must ensure that black industry is in that state. There are the ports that we possess, which we own. Transnet owns those. We have left everything to Transnet to see to it that it does as it wishes. But I can tell you, international companies are the ones that are owning that logistics of the ports. And if the DCI is not involved, you only get involved in terms of taxation and all that to those big companies. All the things that they are doing, including warehousing, African people can do it. Those are our ports. We can take control of them. We don't go to Germany and control their ports. But the DHLs and the Schenkers of today, Schenkers in South Africa, are the ones that are controlling the ports in terms of logistics. The individuals in this country, which black companies are there? And if you just say you're going to have black industries in the, where are, which industries? Is it mining? Is it what? That you're going to have those black industries? Even in the logistics. Logistics is closed in such a way that black people can't even go into those into that space. Siemens and the rest are controlling everything is this. Foreigners are controlling our ports. And nothing is being done from the CI part. You see? So I don't understand really where are we or where do you want to which phase of the economy do you want the people to occupy?
Okay, thank you.
So whatever that you have in the pipeline, you know, doing industrialization, manufacturing, it's going to take quite a while. But there's something that we're looking at as South Africans. I've traveled quite extensively, and I know for sure when it comes to banks, we are the best. And at the moment, you're doing very well when it comes to that, when it comes to those kind of services. Is it possible that we can actually look at expanding that? And because we can actually be what Switzerland is to Europe, what Hong Kong is to China. Why can't we do the same to Africa, to the rest of Africa, when it comes to financial sectors? We have stopped that. I said this all the time. We have stopped that and are raised. We're talking about the 3 billion rand that is under the mantra. And there are women that are having stopped that are doing very well with stopped that. Why don't we get into corporate financial institutions? Make sure that they work. Not only that they are there to be regulated and at the end of the day they close. I know that maybe we can actually consider to actually put them into a small business because they are corporate banks. But why don't we mobilize them? Because you have the money, and women are not asking for grants or funding. They have the money. And that money, it can actually be in community. It is in community. It can be there used to sustain small businesses in the sense. It doesn't need you physical funds all the time and incentives and all of that. Have that work. Make sure that the people that have the money, those first, they fund the same women so that you can just be there to guide them and, you know, be like, to help them with really running the businesses professionally. Those are things that we can actually get to. You know, banking. Banking is one sector that South Africa is doing exceptionally well.
Thank you. Honorable I'm sorry, we may have time, honorable members, we are running out of time.
Okay, I'm going to go to the next one. Ngishiso yini mawubheka izikole ezikhona mina ngikhezethi engingakubalela only two inhlambi isenhlanga nasenyulek nakhona kukhokhwa izimali ezingabe zishisiwe emva kwalokho abawutholi umsebenzi siyadula bese ngizokhuluma ngomlimi oxhaphaza abantu bale makhaya ofandwa u-d i ngabeiqimba bazolona kodwa ngizosho kanjalo kugama shonjalo ofika emakhaya adlale ngabantu athi bona uthi uhulumeni uma ungavumi ukuthi lo mlungu nalo muntu engenza umuso ngedala uma nifuna ngomtshelela yena uthi uhulumeni uma ungavumi ngalo mhlaba ukuthi kutshalwe kona umoba kuzokhupha indawo afika kutshala umoba afaitele umoba kube kuhlazi kumuhle ngendlela oba kuhle nibona ukudlala wathina abantu abamnyama ube umuhle umoba wathi ukhiqizwa indaba yokudlala uthi asefekiye unikazendawo lathola amalini thola 10% abantu basemakhaya ngoba bazi 10% ukuthiushitile ajabele lokho kodwa imali sikhisho bani udithayi abafanele ngomhlaba mnikazi wendawo after 5 years amhlaba othule kwaphela ngithikelika ngoba nikhona ngiyaqaleka nisukuma nakhulukazi uthule phuza lomlelo kungafoki indawo yenzeka e-KZN emthandeni abantu lapho kuthashazwa bona ngemhlaba yabo batholi ukuthi ukukhiqizo yonke into ongazihambane sonyenza batholi ukuthi umlungu uhlangene nale zihlahla ebizwa ukuthi ama-element yiuye lo mlungu instate abathatha zonke lezi zinto zinikeza abantu bakithi abamnyama niyabona yini ukuthi abantu bakithi ayithi into ebabiza ukuthi bakumenzela intuthuko zekazileyo izinamabe mkhona omunye lasishathu kayisenasini khona omunye la okhuluma into emnandi uhlalo wami uyabona abantu zobantu babe sengakuhlunge emadolobheni lempitsheni nempilo ingekhona yingoba nina nikhohle ukuthi basemthetha unkulunkulu empilo ebenihambise ngamafeshe niyobenzele emakhaya mangabisabe ikhokelele umuntu asenokhashe funa i-police station uyahamba ngisho kunikoyengikhadi okuthenga ukudla ukude kanti ngempela nina yini umkulunkulu bekale ndayibona abasikhebe khona amadolobha eduze ebeni basondelele nabantu bebenzwe nabo phela ukuthi sesikhululekile kuzotshekulonyela sesilile sekuphethe abantu bakithi abamnyama nothi ngokuzigqugquzela laba bantu abakhona ababenzele besicindezele befuna ukuthi thina sinokugibela lama mondo emanjalo emandeni wafaka kunenazi ukuthi andithuthukisa abantu bababamnyama yakuthi ukuandithuthukisa ukuthi angihambekela ngobanisitolo sami kuthenga la ngithuthukisa nina abantu bangafani ngiyabona ngizawucela umhlangano la ozobe ngithathe mhlawumbe isikolo nesikhulume no-d p i
ngiyabonga. How they are like violated, and she referred to people who are in sign language, and then she referred to two schools in Mozambique where she hails from, in Ghana and in Mule. Those schools are very, very expensive. In fact, they sometimes have to pay so such high fees for trying to go to school. After completing, you know, the studies, they don't have any jobs after that. Then she referred to a meeting whereby a farmer who is allegedly funded by CIC is abusing people from her area. This particular drama goes around and teaches people and informs people that if they do not use their land, the government will take away that land. And then he ends up using the land to plow sugar cane, and that sugar cane after 5 years, when it's ripe, to be taken to the mill, you find that the owner of the land only gets 10%. She explained how people are being exploited, especially in the rural area. And after 5 years, she also explained that after 5 years, and the sugar cane has been plowed or the sugar cane has been taken away, you find that the land is damaged and is no longer usable. She said that this is happening in her own constituency, which is at Intandie. She also talked about trees, which are called elements. Now this guy is exploiting those trees to make money or to make profit, and by selling this product without full knowledge of these people. She then returned to the reason why people are so crowded up in the cities and in the big towns. She said this is because there's nothing for them at home. This factory can open children to them, and this can be their life easier. Let people know how to work, let people know how to do things for themselves, but the thing needs to be put closer to them. She also emphasized that the need to bring development closer to the people so that people can be part of change. She ended up by saying that the building walls next to black areas or next to rural people, next to rural areas, they are not actually helping them to work. What ends up happening is the very small shop that they are using to make a living, or the very small shop that they have, end up closing because people are not going to go to the mall to buy and sell and look at it. Thank you.
And thank you,
ma'am.
I think we have accepted all the questions. I would see the CCI, so just briefly give us the answers. I know that some of the answers, because there are many answers that they have to respond, or give the chance that you can bring it back to the our secretary. Then, because this is not only our questions, we are going to have other meetings with you. For now, I'm just giving you the chance. Just 5 minutes, and some proper
life. Thank you, Jay. Allow us maybe to say the following, that some of the inputs are adverse that we need to factor in as we shape the programs and implement. So the issues of targets and others, we will go back and show that we factor in those things. The other point Manu want to highlight is that Cabinet and the Green Party in particular have said so much. We have spoken a lot about policies with the social approaches and the other things. They specifically told us you don't want to hear those things. You tell us about programs and where they are happening. That if you don't talk about those things, one can't hear. One of the issues that the president in particular has told us, he said to us, go and revitalize the old areas. So we do those things, and when things are happening there, we have to leave. And he said to us, we want the jobs and all of those things happening in areas where it could be, whether they are townships or villages or rural areas, etc. Now what we can see here, I mean the issues that raised is that there would always be policy tensions in the sense that government usually pursues policies that may seem contradictory at a certain level. But it's the role of government to manage those contradictions. So I'll give you an example. We in society here, we want localization. We don't want to buy things that we can manufacture here from abroad. But another department, let's say we say medicine, we manufacture here. And the Department of Health comes in and says, that's fine. But we want more prices in medicine. Now, those then come as policy objectives. We have both of them very good, but they're contradictory. Especially at the initial phase. And what we need to do is manage those contradictions as we implement. And these are some of the things that I picked up coming up here, that you just have to appreciate that we are managing those things as we go. Again, a lot of the things are systemic. The UNEX system, here is one component say that something needs to happen in the other part of the system for the system to work and how the whole system functions together. So GPA alone is nothing more, and cannot. All of those things. Let me give you an example. When we started this industrial development zones, that was around 1998. It took us 10 years to get up to these industrial development zones. That's why we have special economic zones now. In order to help engaging other government departments and national treasury to agree, it's now that national treasury has agreed that we will give tax breaks so that investors in those areas we get to see percent. My point is that there are things that we are going to work on in the system. We are currently, but we have to say that a lot of people are in the battle now. For example, we said there should be set aside for small enterprises in government procurement. It's still something that agencies like Less Business Council, ECM, etc. are still waiting on the national system to agree on that system. And then, once again, there are other things here, I think, that we would need more specificity, because when we get those things, we are able to use them. It would be helpful, for example, the challenges of scrupulous people who are holding communities, etc. They happen almost every day. When we get that info, we are able to intervene. And lastly, there are things that we have been assigned by heavy legs. And that's why we did not let our listeners just know the problems in the society. What we would also suggest is probably we need to break down many of these programs and things one by one. So if we talk about policy, we can come here and talk about industrial policy action plan. That alone is safe. And to talk about them, nothing else. And then in that area we would unpack how we deal with the challenges of inflation and other costs, because they are part of policy and government. So we would be able to provide specific things that really take certain programs in my state. For example, automotive sector development. Then you can come in and talk about that program on how we are developing the automotive sector, how women and black people are being assisted to support the targets that we are holding in the companies. My point is that it is very difficult to bring all of those things, many, many programs, into a very short single presentation. But we will support those the things that you said. We acknowledge that the targets and most specifically the promise at this stage is very low, especially when it comes to the internet supplementation. It's very low. And that we need to do more other things in the system except to achieve that. And let me just say a few things about industrial parks. The majority of these things are not in for our business. Let me give you an example. Kwangoa, right in Kwangoa. Toyendo, right in the township of Toyendo. Shishio, right in Shishio. Harangua, right in Harangua. And I can go on. There are a few that are far away, but then the principle is that we develop strategies for each one of those. Which means that if we have to use an activity that's far away, we must have a plan on how we support the various elements for that development. Relationship between the two departments, women and the PTI, we haven't really had a much structured engagement with the department. The certain things we move to the gender business unit to the department of small business. By the way, there was a no, we don't have a gender unit, because the gender unit we have is one decided politically that the program must make. That was not our decision. But what you can generally see is that those programs that were not run by the gender unit are the ones that are much more. They have more impact and there are many, there are more people than the gender specific ones. So the issue here was about mainstreaming, is to ensure that, as we said earlier on, that right across all the programs, we must have targets for women. And that will not be done by the gender unit. It should be done by philosophy that flows from the top in government and the department. That's why it's happening now. There's an issue about what is meant by where possible. It's important to understand this because not all programs are intended to achieve the empowerment. Not all programs are intended to achieve empowerment. Because of this policy tension, one of our fundamental tasks that everyone is quizzing to hear about is where are the foreign direct investments in the. That is not a gender issue. What we do, we have to go out there and talk to Toyota and say, invest in South Africa. Talk to Canada and say, who feels that we have. Talk to people that do all sorts of products. That's why you have a lot of automotive companies moving from Australia and other countries coming here. Because that's the problem we have. That doesn't mean that problem is anti. The first thing is to get the capability. Once the companies are here, and then we bring in the other dimensions of empowerment. For example, we will soon be launching an IBM in an equity equivalent program. IBM, which has been here, has manufactured computers, etc., has set aside 700 million to help empower Black South Africans. But that can only happen in ADLC. So those are the things that ADLC. So when we say where possible, is that we need to appreciate is that there are different objectives, but they will ultimately work together. I think, let me end there. Just to say that some of the functions here, a lot of the DCI. DCI has no management service. For example, the embedding. There's national treasure that can say this. Of course, the part of the cluster, but even the same thing with POS, Department of Transport. But we work with them to ensure that development is seamless. That's why we have this particular program in government. Because we need to bring all sorts of government programs for faster development. Last thing, let me just mention that we have done a lot of feasibility studies across the country. At the moment, we are doing 10 proposed special economic zones across the country. In Kenya, in Limpopo, in Tuwake, the Bekashot area in Limpopo, in the Sun City area, Northwest, Mafike, Northwest, and as you go on, province by province. The purpose of that is to identify what is the development potential of each of those regions and what can we do. The details for those regions can be when we come and talk about the details of what special economic zones are all about, what are we trying to do, where are we, what are we achieving. Let me leave it there so that my colleague here can okay, just before we come in, my colleague here is talking about the gender issue.
Okay. Two things. The Amarula beneficiation project, I think, was advantageous to us at the time through the corporate incentive scheme. So they have taken it with advantage and always project up and try to find out what happened to that. The FINA project, in fact, we worked with that community extensively. I think DCI will be with that project. But the collapse of the project itself happened when the members of the secondary cooperative, remember, it was constituted
to about 75 cooperatives, and 98% of them were women. So that's what was driving us to make it interesting. When the money started to trickle in from the Department of Rural Development, then the secondary cooperatives started to mismanage some of the funds. So there was no proper connection. But DTI was not involved because the money was coming from another department. However, we acted and gave advice, we got minutes to that effect to show them how we wanted them to correct the situation. But they didn't get heed of our advice. But further, we still continue to look at the impact. I mean, the community itself is one that is saying they want intervention to continue. The land was being contacted by the other chief of the person. They subsequently found another piece of land at the Sinatong. So we are now trying to work with them along that, including Sinyaki, to get that help in there. So it's going to link as well to the meat processing cluster that they are also doing. So there is a movement on that, and showing them likewise report sometime later on. But in rural development programs, I think in terms of industrial relations, there's quite a lot of other projects that we are doing. With the notion of course of having us, because we realize that not everything that, for example, DAF does, work together with them, by the way, and the rural development itself. So we try and find synergies, because if we do it quickly, or if us and we eliminate them or the other department, the project usually cannot find sustainability. So those kind of synergies to work with departments on their own, the other way, because as the DG was highlighting there on, is to try and make the different policies of government. An example, a case in point is the one that was referred to, which was the fisheries project. We haven't stopped, but ever since we implemented the first phase of giving the 39 cooperatives today, the implementation boats and everything, we've seen the, an improved turnover and sustainability of those small corporations.
We have no time, but there are more reports from the department. I think we have taken the idea that the portfolio committee has said to you. It's not the solution. In our next meeting, we have a day to talk about more about this issue. But I'd like to speak on our mutual, because there is something that you want to say before those, and remember that you are having a meeting now, after this, before we go for another.
I just wanted to say one thing. In countries, when you said foreign investment, you said you have no authority over them. There is no such. I mean, for instance, they wanted to move to Australia, and you pump money in the money loan, where you have a authority to say, it's our money. This is what you're going to do for. Because Ford wanted to stay in Australia, I mean, in money loan. They wanted to stay in money. But people in money loan, it's not benefit. They only benefited only to be employed there. You were supposed to build components. You were supposed to do automation components that build this port, 4x4 that is they have related. In 2002, that was their gist that they wanted to build. But they had empowered white companies to build those components. And you did not take that opportunity. Secondly, you did not even take an opportunity to give a 60 industry, because they are the ones that are in the car. They are the ones that are taking things that are the other. You didn't give them the leeway to own the components of automation. They're all of those things. Taking industry is nowhere. They're not producing work, they're not producing anything that has to do with automation. But you have that authority. There's no fact that because it's foreign investment, you can dictate terms to them. You can do that. You can dictate terms. It is our country. It is our country, it is our money. You can dictate terms and tell them that. Because their people have never been empowered. You are empowering them. When they come in, this is what they will do. In every company that comes to South Africa, you have that authority. So now I don't understand.
Okay.
No, I just wanted to put you before the vote of this meeting, you know, and then they must not be confused. I want to say that issues that members of parliament are raising, yes. are not issues that members of parliament are letting understand what strategy, which strategy they have to speak. I think we let child know how to think strategically and how to think in terms of system, you know. But we are saying that we need to do, we are now the half nations, the rural nations, that is a system thing. So we've got it. We need to do more. The second one, I think, in terms of policy, we are saying that they're still going to meet with this policy. I think the alignment of your chairman, because the chairman needs to meet here, is based on particular programs, not on this. The policy, the industrial, so this is what you are trying to make it. How do you do that? And I think maybe a good shot that you're going to have with them, these are the issues. And those packages must be explained to members of parliament, and members of parliament must advise the department. So this is the relationship, the relationship is if you're under attack. But it's what parliament thinks that you must do. So I want to clarify this thing for the full commission.
Yes, I just want to find that, you know, when you say businesses that are focusing on black people, this is in South Africa, but why do you keep on saying that? It's like someone in China saying that I'm focusing on businesses that are focusing on Chinese people. It's not working among the blacks, it's not living for the country. We are the majority in this country. I don't know why if you know, but if you keep on saying black people, if it's not, if business are not working for us, for black people, that means it's not working for the country, because those are the majority of the government. You cannot treat us as if black people are coming from outside. We are outsiders. We are not. You cannot, you have to maybe rephrase your way of putting things. If these are the majority, these are the drivers. That's what you are in the government. You are driving the majority of the population of South Africa. And it's just one thing that they are better for, it's like the bad way, again, the bad way is they are not part of the economy. That's the, for me, that's what it's about. And the other thing you said, like the gender department has moved to small. What we have been asking, I thought that should be on the same page, each and every department has a gender focal point. If you tell me that the gender has moved, so what are you doing there? Why are you coming to the court to women if you don't have a gender focal point in your department?
Thank you. Ngoba ilento kuba kuthisa la isakaphela sina khona abantu abangabona bakhona esingafanele kube nesisikhuthayo and leyo moba nje elikuya kusekuvasela impendulo yayo ngoba kusola mhlanje yazini ukuthi njengoba sila ephalamende simela abantu base-South Africa nokuthi silona sikhubayo abantu bangaphandle lelizwe lelile ngokuthi siyayikwazi simela ngaphandle kwabantu bangaphandle. Lange nje suke lapha ngephesheya ngokuvula amabhizinisi bese ngibona ukuthi hayi kwashaya isimo imali yaseSouth Africa sikwazi kahle abantu bakhona uku-enjoya umnotho hayi iphumela i-nelobi isebenza abanyanazi naleyo amathengiso ibuza ngelinye ilanga ngoba imoto amathengiso akhona isiza aserani abantu besifazane amadoda ashashona iy'ngane esaa
Let me have you some answer.
No, I'm not listening to you.
Okay. I think a member should have come to the end of the meeting, but this is not the end of the meeting with the DTR, because still the meeting, there are many questions, and many questions that is handled, that you need from the DTR. So the meeting is adjourned, and every member is not being denied just for 5 minutes before the meeting. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.